The Mike Morgan Podcast, guaranteed to make you laugh. Not a guarantee. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Mike Morgan Podcast. Thanks very much for joining me. You are very welcome. Thank you to everybody who came out to the High B in Mallow on Friday night, blown away by the support, filled up the room. There was like 126 people there, which is brilliant. And Fred Cook was there. He smashed it. Laura Mahoney was there. She smashed it. I did okay myself. Everybody had a good time. And there was 25 tickets sold for the next show on the way out the door, which is always a good sign. So we plugged the Joe Rooney night straight after, and people bought tickets on the way out the door, which is always a good sign. And we're back in the High B in Mallow on the 13th of April with Father Damo from Father Ted, Joe Rooney. He is absolutely hilarious. Joining me also on the night is my brother Chris McShane. He is outstanding, and he's going to next levels as well in comedy as well. I've been gigging with Chris McShane for years, and he's a top class comedian, but I've been gigging with him the last 6 months as well, and he's going to another level. So he's going to be opening the show, doing about 20-25 minutes. So guys, go buy tickets for that in Mallow. We have Chris McShane, myself, and Joe Rooney from Father Ted. So go check that out. Also, if you are from Kilkenny, I will be up in Kells in Kilkenny on the 23rd of March with Fred Cook and Chris McShane also. So that's going to be exciting. And also, people of Killarney, I am bringing my solo show to the Shire on the 23rd of May, Thursday, 23rd of May. Tickets are going live today. So today you can buy tickets to my show in Killarney. So if there's anybody from Killarney or Kerry or anybody that knows anybody in Killarney, send them that way, guys. Would love to have a full house in Killarney to see my solo show. So guys, welcome to the podcast. I did not make a podcast last week because I was absolutely devastated, because I was supposed to be in Barcelona and my baby's passport didn't arrive. It arrived like 2 days later before we flew out. I was ringing the passport office, emailing them, is there anything they can do? They said, there's nothing they can do. I was like, all right, fuck it. Like, a baby needs a passport, I suppose. I don't really think a baby needs a passport. I think all babies look the same. I could have got a random Japanese baby's passport and Georgia could have passed for that, I feel. But anyway, look, enough said. I was just devastated. I took a week off work, and then when I found out I wasn't going, I actually went to work, put down the worst week's work as well. I was like, I'm supposed to be on holidays. Oh, man. Oh, I was sick. Sick. I was supposed to be in Barcelona, but I was in Ennis. Do you know, it's a sick state of affairs over a baby's passport as well. That's the sick, a baby's passport. Like, you could line my baby up in 100 babies, right? There's a 98% chance I'll pick out my baby. You know, there's a 98% chance. But there's that 2% chance that I will pick up the wrong baby, take it home and raise it. Do you know? Like, if that baby fucks up at anything in life, I'll always have in the back of my head, Is it even my baby? Did I pick up the right baby that day? But, do you know, basically what I'm saying is all babies look the same. All babies look the same, and babies don't need a passport. Do you know, they should be able to fly with their mother, like they used to do back in the day, I feel. Something I did do last week, actually, to stay productive, I started making TikToks again. I fell out of love with TikToks, to be honest. During the pandemic, I used to make them every day because there was no comedy. I was like, well, I can put all my jokes on TikTok. And I ended up getting a good following from it. But what happens, lads? I don't know. I just fell out of love with it because there's young fellas that recognize you and they just come up to you. And like, I'd be lifting boxes. Like, back in the day, if people recognized you, it meant you had a load of money and you were famous. These days, there's like vloggers and fucking, I don't know what you call them, influencers and people that have no talent, including myself. Like, I'm not that talented, like, you know what I mean? But you can build up a following. And on TikTok, it's a very young following, lad. And it's just like, I'd have young fellas, I'd be working in a van, and they'd be coming up to me, I'd be lifting boxes of chicken. And they'd be like, you're Mike, are ya? And I'm like, yeah, I follow you on TikTok. And then they'd be like, why are you lifting chicken, like? Do you know, they can't get in their head that, like, why are you doing... And it fucked with my head so much, lad. It happened to me a few times, and it just fucked with my head so much that I actually... Do you know what? I don't even like making sketches. I love stand-up comedy. I love grabbing a microphone and telling jokes. That's what I love doing. But unfortunately, not even unfortunately, look, there's parts of every people's job that they don't enjoy, but I do not enjoy making sketches. I hate putting myself out there. You're putting yourself out there to everyone when you put it up on Facebook. Do you know what I mean? So that kind of got to me a small bit, but... Not back making TikToks. Made a TikTok last week about getting robbed in Cork. A little joke I made on stage, and I transformed it to a short TikTok version, and it like went brilliant. Made another one about a dodgy box, and it went brilliant. So yeah,
I'm just going to go back into TikToks. Why not? It's part and parcel of my game. It's like people get to know you. They come to see your show. And like, that's only the bad part. When I mentioned that, like, oh, I'm working in a van and people come up recognizing me, like, it's actually fucking embarrassing. Like, I feel like, I don't know, it's just in my head, boy, but I just feel mortified. I walk around at work with my hood up and a hat. No one recognizes me, like, but, like, on the off chance that someone recognizes me, I'm paranoid to death. Like, it's like, oh, they won't come see my show if they see me working in a van. They won't come see my show if they see me lifting chicken up to a Chinese restaurant. Do you know what I mean? It's just all in my own head, and I need to get it out of my own head and go back into making sketches. Because, yeah, I don't enjoy them, but when I get into them, I do enjoy them. I enjoy the process of making a sketch, not so much filming it and putting it up and posting it. I don't actually enjoy that. I feel it gives me anxiety, do you know? But, yeah, look at something. Look. The proof is in the pudding. Every comedian I know that's doing well is doing sketches out there. People see their sketches, they like them, they come see their show, and they sell a lot of tickets. And fair fucking play to them. So, like, exactly. The formula is already there for me. It's me not stepping into it. Yeah, I just need to snap out of that anxious nerves that I get when I put stuff up. But, like, yeah, exactly. It's part and parcel of the game. But when I grab a microphone in front of, like, in Mallow there now last week, 130 people, I grabbed the microphone. No nerves, like. There is absolutely zero nerves. I am so comfortable. I love it. Do you know what I mean? I love it. Like, I love my job when that's my job. Like, do you know? So don't get me wrong. Like, it's just the sketches. It's like, everybody can judge me now. Like, you don't even have to follow me now. I might pop up on your feed and you can judge me. And then you see me in town and it's like, there's that fucking Egypt. But, like, put all that fucking aside. I have to do it and just get it out my head, basically. The only thing I will say is I'm used to Facebook. I'm not really used to Instagram. I should do more on Instagram. But, like, I'm used to Facebook. I've been doing that years, putting up sketches. I'm used to TikTok because I've been doing that years. And that's probably the one I'm most predominantly on because, like, I don't know. I just make a lot of TikToks and I don't even bother posting them on other platforms, which is my own fault. But if you are someone that's out there and you post stuff for your business and all that kind of stuff and you're not that into TikTok or you're kind of like, oh, TikTok's for kids. It's not just for kids. Like, I'll say it right now. Like, the 50% of the money I generate in my life and the tickets that come to my show is from TikTok and from people coming to TikTok. So I will say that. Like, it's not useless. It is definitely profitable. Like, but just be used to absolute idiots commenting on your stuff. Just, they're absolute idiots. Like, it's crazy. You could make the most perfect video, no flaws, no nothing, and you will get the stupidest comments. Like, so you just got to ignore that. That's the only advice I would give if you're going into TikToks. Don't even read the comments. Post it. 90% of it's good, but, like, I made the mistake when I started out of replying to comments, like, just going, are you serious? Like, are you not getting it? Or people just going, like, just saying mean shit. I don't mind the mean shit, but it's the stupid shit I don't get, like, you know? So now I just don't really reply to anything. I just like good comments, and I don't reply to any negative comments. So just be aware of that. But it is funny. I'm at the point where the negative comments are fucking hilarious, you know? Like, I have never posted a negative comment in my life. Where do you have to be in your life that you are so negative that you have to post a paragraph or message me something? Like, where are you in your life that's happening? Like, I've never done it to anybody in my life. And I've been in cruel states. I've been fucking down in the dumps, frustrated with myself. And not once did I feel the need to go comment something negative on somebody. Do you know what I mean? Or message them. So at the end of the day, just forget about them. Today I have an interview. I recorded an interview last week with Frankie the Butcher, a mob boss from New York, and he has decided to, he's in hiding in Ireland, but he's come out with a book. He wants to talk about his stuff. Very interesting story. And he came on the podcast and it's his first time talking about his life experiences in the mob. For me, I thought the mob was over. I've watched Goodfellas, The Godfather, all that kind of stuff. Turns out it still exists. It's still strong. And there's people committing crimes, going into hiding, protective custody. And they're still around the place. And sometimes they even hide them in Ireland. So yeah, Frankie the Butcher met up with me and Mallow and we had an old coffee and an old chat. And yeah, there's a lot of cursing in this, guys. There was no point bringing in Frankie the Butcher if there wasn't going to be a lot of cursing. So yeah, enjoy my interview with Frankie the Butcher. It was an absolute pleasure.
And this broad says to me, she's like, is that a gun in your pocket? Are you just happy to see me? I said, can it be both, sugar? We're live, Frankie, we're live. Oh, sorry.
Hello, And welcome to the Mike Morgan Podcast, where a rare interview with Frankie the Butcher. Frankie, you're living in Ireland, safe and sound. You were on the run most of your life, living a life of crime. I suppose we'll start off your story. How did you get into a life of crime growing up in New York City?
Yeah, first off, thanks for having me, Mike. Big fan of the podcast. Yeah, I grew up on the Upper East Side of New York City. Petty crime at the start. I don't know, about robbing bikes, robbing your grandmother's wedding ring. What the fuck's she gonna do about it? But I think the first time I killed a guy, that's when I got my first true calling. You know, like a plumber when he's reaching in the back of the toilet and he finds the shit for the first time and he's like, yeah, that's the shit. That's how I felt. First time I murdered a guy was in downtown New York. I was at a hot dog stand. This guy, he asked me, he goes, hey, yo, you want ketchup or you want mustard? What the fuck you want? I said, I'll take both. I said, I'll take ketchup and mustard. I said, I'll take both. He said, yeah, I thought you would take both. As if I'm not concerned about my own weight, as if I don't know I'm a fat fuck. I got type 2 diabetes over here, and this guy making me self-conscious. I said, you motherfucker. So I cut the ketchup straight away. I shoved it down his throat. I said, fucking speak now, you motherfucker. I said, you want mustard? I thought you'd want both. I grabbed the mustard. I shoved it up his nose till it came out of his mouth, and then he was suffocating. I said, you like being smart, don't you? Try say something smart now. You can't be smart with fucking mustard coming out your mouth, you fuck. You got mustard, you got ketchup, you're fucking bleeding. I grabbed him by the spagoolies, I fucking squeezed him. I said, what the fuck you gonna do now, you motherfucker? And he stopped fucking breathing. It was tremendous. It was one of the best fucking moments of my life. It was like a true calling. My accents, after changing a small bit, I get excited sometimes, you know. But that motherfucker, I gave him what he fucking deserved. And mustard, ketchup. If I had something else, I would have shoved it up his ass. You know what I mean? But that's the first time I murdered somebody.
Wow, that's so insightful, and I don't know what to say really to that. You got very, your accent is actually all over the place. You started off deep, got very light, so we will just try keep it consistent as we go on. So you did jail time, Frankie. Was it over this murder? Was it another murder? Is there murders that the police don't know about? And how was prison for you?
Yeah, what can I say? Prison was tremendous. I did 25 years in the slammer, and it was the best years of my life. Met some good people, but I got institutionalized. After I came out of prison, I went to go live with my mother. My mother's a saint. I got up for breakfast the first morning. I'm queuing. I'm like, why the fuck am I queuing? I'm a free man. So snapped out of it, sat down, went to eat my omelet. My mother reached over to get the salt. I fucking shanked my own mother. I couldn't get out of the prison environment. I started shanking my mother. I said, you taking my salt, you motherfucker. This is my salt, you bitch. And my mother's a saint. Now, I love murdering, but I didn't enjoy murdering my own mother. You know what I'm saying? That was stone cold murder. But that all stems from being institutionalized. Like even taking a shower after prison. I couldn't shower for weeks without a guy looking at me. You know, I had to pay one of my buddies. I was like, hey, yo, come over here. I give you a few dollars. Just look at me shower for 2 minutes. He's like, hey, yo, man, I don't like that. I don't bend that way. I said, it's not about that. I said, you just got to look at me, take a shower real quick. Make sure I don't drop the soap. I ain't this stupid, you know? Took me weeks to have a shower by myself and make me feel comfortable again.
May I ask, where does the name Frankie the Butcher come from? How did you get the nickname The Butcher?
Well, I'll be honest with you, Mike. Calling me The Butcher is a bit of a disservice. People think I butcher up bodies after I'm done with it. I don't do that shit. I just fucking kill them, leave them at the bottom of the ocean, let them sleep with the fucking fishes. What the fuck they gonna do about it? Forget about it. But how I got the name Frankie The Butcher, it stems from when I was about, I don't know, maybe 20, 21. I was down at the butcher's getting some lamb chops for my mother. I ordered the lamb chops. I said, hey, yo, how you doing? Can I get 4 lamb chops? And I started pointing at what I thought were the lamb chops. He started laughing. He said, yo, hey, yo, they ain't lamb chops. They're chicken thighs. He started laughing at me in front of fucking everybody in the queue. I said, hey, why are you laughing at? Just give me the fucking chops. He said, hey, man, you got to order the chops. If you got to point at the right one, you don't even know which one you're pointing at. I said, listen to me, you motherfucker. And I jumped over the counter. I said, are you chopping now? Are you chopping now? Give me the fucking chop. I grabbed his knife. I started chopping his fucking fingers off one by one. I said, you chop? Is that chop enough for you, you fuck? I'm going to chop every one of you. I chop your dick off too, you fuck. And that's how I got the name Frankie the Butcher. Not from butchering bodies, but because I chopped up a butcher. Do you understand me?
Fair enough, lad. I'm starting to get a bit nervous now sitting next to you. I don't know why I agreed to this interview, so I suppose we'll start wrapping it up with a few... Two more questions, maybe three more questions, Frankie, if that's okay. So, you are obviously on the run, and that must have come from, I don't know, informing the police, maybe squealing. You don't seem to me like you're a squealer, Frankie. So how did it come that did they have dirt on you? How did the cops get what they needed, the information they needed from you, Frankie?
Well, first off, let me say I ain't a squealer. I got buddies, well, former buddies of mine. They were informants. They were singing like a fucking canary. I don't fucking squeal. That ain't Frankie the Butcher style. You know what I'm saying? I was getting interrogated by the police. It's a normal fucking Tuesday to me getting interrogated by the police. Whatever. Who gives a fuck? Forget about it. Anyway, this officer starts saying to me that I don't got the balls to squeal. I'm Frankie the fucking Butcher. I got big fucking balls. I said, I'll fucking squeal. I'll tell you every fucking story. I'll show you the size of my fucking ball sack. I started squealing them, telling everything about Frankie Four Fingers, Jimmy the Hat, Jimmy the Mustard. I started squealing on it. And before the interview was even over, it dawned on me. I'm after squealing out the whole fucking gang, trying to show off how big my balls were to a couple of fucking policemen. I was, Frankie, you stupid fuck. I'm going to have to go on the run, the police officer says. Maybe you go to Wisconsin. We can send you down to Jersey. We'll take care of you. I said, fuck that. I'm heading to Ireland. Ain't nobody going to know me in fucking Ireland. So I ran. I laid low for a few months. I wrote my book. Started listening to your podcast. And here I am on the run. Yeah, look, I'll ask no more questions. Yeah, that's brilliant, Frankie. Thanks so much for joining me. You've been insightful and quite funny as well, I suppose. You think I'm funny? How the fuck do you think I'm funny? I came here out of respect to you two, you fucking shitty podcast. I heard there's a fucking shitty comedian who wants to talk to me. I come in here, I talk to you, you call me funny? Like a fucking clown? It's one thing, you're fucking not as funny, you motherfucker. Give me that fucking microphone. No, Frankie, no, but give me that motherfucker. Look, open your fucking mouth. Open your fucking mouth. Put this fucking gun in your mouth. Say goodbye to your fucking podcast listeners, you fuck.
Okay, Frankie, just don't do it. Like and subscribe. Peace and love, y'all. Peace and love.